Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In examining the opening words of Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, we have first noticed his two petitions. A petition in verse 1, that the Father will glorify the Son on the cross. His petition in verse 5, that the Father will glorify the Son in heaven. Two different ways of glorifying, of magnifying the Son, of highlighting the attributes and characteristics of the Son. On the cross, his love, his humility, his obedience. On the throne, his power, his majesty, his splendor are going to be displayed. They are going to be glorified. All of these are various attributes of God the Son, and they will be displayed in different ways. And that's what it means to glorify God, is to magnify or display his attributes. And the Son is rightfully praying that his attributes that are seen in his humanity might be displayed upon the cross in greatest splendor, and his attributes that are seen in his deity might be displayed upon the throne of heaven to greatest splendor. But as we saw on the broadcast yesterday, the Son marshals various reasons to support his petitions, and they are good and godly reasons. And the first one is because it is the divinely appointed time for this to happen. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. The hour is come. That is, the divinely appointed time has finally arrived. And as we saw on the broadcast yesterday, this, of course, speaks of foreordination. This speaks of predestination. This was the time determined by God before the foundation of the world, that the Son should die upon the cross. It was all foreordained. It was certainly predestinated. So does that mean that the Son doesn't do anything? Does that mean there's no reason to pray? There's no reason for him to act? Wrong. If that's what you think predestination is, you are wrong. That's the very reason he does pray, that the predestinated plan of God might be brought to fruition. Now, when we don't understand that in our praying, then we have a wrong concept of prayer. Some people's idea of prayer is to wrestle things from God that otherwise God wouldn't want you to have. What you try to do is change God's mind. What you try to do is bring things to pass that otherwise would not come to pass. What you try to do is to change the determinations of God and the counsels of God and the wisdom of God. Listen, dear friend, if you think that's what you're doing in prayer, number one, you are badly mistaken about what prayer is for and what it is accomplishing, but number two, you are pretty badly mistaken about who you are and who God is. I can remember having a discussion like this with a couple of believers, one of them a member of our church and one of them someone outside our church at one time. And the person who was not a member of our church was of the opinion that we human beings could prevail upon God to change his mind, that our prayers could cause God to change his mind. And I remember what the member of our church said in response. I thought it was so good. He said, "Well, I can't imagine why in the world I would want to make God change his mind. Do I think my ideas are better than his? Do I think my wisdom is better than his? That's what you're saying when you act that way, when you think that way. Who do you think you are? That you have ideas that are better than God's. That you have wisdom that is greater than God's. Come on! I can't think of a greater insult to Almighty God than to act or think as if my thoughts are superior to your thoughts. My ideas are better than your ideas. My wisdom is better than your wisdom. So God, you change the plan you had in mind. You change the thoughts you had, and you change them to mine, because mine are better. What audacity, what pride, what blasphemy. That's not what prayer is. Well, you say, then what is it? Well, as much as anything, it is worship. It's also communion with the divine being, with God Almighty himself. It's a great privilege for the creature to be able to commune with his creator. It's a great privilege for the creature to be able to worship his creator. And God has given us that privilege and invited us to enter into that privilege and invited us to bring our petitions before his throne. But he has taught us in his word that always we must submit our will to his. That's not being arrogant on God's part. That's just calling upon us to recognize the difference between us. God is infinite in wisdom. He's never wrong. We're wrong all the time. So why should we try to prevail upon God to change his mind to match our mind? Come on! What does that betray about our misconceptions about how great we are and our misconceptions about how God isn't nearly as great as he is? Something's way, way, way out of whack there. You better spend a little more time thinking about who God is and who you are and the vast distance between you, how he is perfect in wisdom, how we are anything but perfect in wisdom. We never get it exactly right, do we? Unless we are reflecting God's thoughts perfectly. And that's the goal. That's the idea. What we're trying to do in praying is to get, if I could put it this way, an attitude adjustment. To get our thoughts to line up with his. That's the highest goal. That should be our greatest desire. As somebody put it, what we want to do is to be able to think God's thoughts after him. That's what we study the Word of God for. That's what we pray for. That's what we worship God for. We are constantly trying to get our thoughts to line up with his. And to the degree that they do, then to that degree we are blessed. To that degree we are supremely happy. When the creature's thoughts line up with the Creator's thoughts, then the creature is greatly blessed and made gloriously fulfilled in the process. But to the extent that the creature's thoughts are out of harmony with the Creator's thoughts, to that extent the creature is not blessed. To that extent the creature is miserable. To that extent the creature is out of sync with his Creator. So the whole goal, in a sense, in worship and prayer and everything that relates to our fellowship and communion with God, the whole purpose is to incrementally change our thoughts to get them in conformity with his, because it's a recognition that our thoughts, to the extent that they are not a reflection of his thoughts, are wrong. And our thoughts will only become right when they are a reflection of his thoughts. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we are doing in prayer. We are working on adjusting our thinking to line up with his. Prayer is a very important in that process. It's as we pray that we reflect back to God. You know, it personalizes the truth of his word. We study his word, we hear his word. And that's important, that's necessary for us to even be able to pray aright. But then when we pray, what we are doing is personalizing these truths, these general principles that we have learned in the Bible, we personalize them to our case and our relationship with God. We, for example, learn in the Bible that God is a God who supplies the needs of his children. That's a general truth, a general principle. It applies to every child of God. Now, how do I personalize that for my case? for my needs. Or how to do that by prayer. You see, I get the general principle from Bible study, from Bible teaching, from listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. That's God communicating His truth to me. I get the general principle. But now, how do I take that general principle and personalize it for me, for my heart, for my need, for my case, for my relationship with God? My relationship with God is a personal relationship. So I take these general truths and I pray them back to God in the particulars that apply to me. Lord God, your word says that you will supply the needs of your children. Now, let me lay my particular, my personal need before you. And let's take a look at this together, Lord. This seems to be a need to me. Am I wrong? Do I think this is a need when it is not? If your word says that you supply all the needs of your children, then either, if this is a need, you are going to meet it, or maybe my understanding of what I think is a need is wrong, in which case I need you to help me see this correctly, to understand why this is not a need. And this is just one example, but in this way, we get our thoughts lined up with God's thoughts. Did you ever see one of those games? I haven't seen one for a long time, but I remember somewhere along the way, probably several times along the way, seeing a child's toy that was basically a lot of metal filings in a plastic container, and there would be a picture or something on the back of the package. And what you did was take a magnet, and you could use the magnet to move those metal filings around and to make pictures out of them, like put a beard on the man's face and different things. And you were taking these random filings and you were making some order, making some sense out of them, moving the magnet around to change the order and direction of those random pieces of metal. Well, in a sense, I think that's what happens. We have these random thoughts and ideas which are, frankly, out of sync with our Creator, because we are members of Adam's fallen race. And in sin, that's what happened. Our thoughts became distorted. They became confused. They became contrary to divine thoughts. And our will is different from the divine will. We want to go our own way, not God's way. But in salvation, what God does is restore to us an ability to now understand Him and think His thoughts after Him. And in progressive sanctification, what we are doing is getting our thoughts, our mind, our will, our desires increasingly lined up with that of our Creator. We're getting back in harmony with Him. And that's a lot of what prayer is doing. It is helping us to get our thoughts lined up with our Creator, who is also now our Redeemer and our Savior. And we are trying to learn, trying to understand, trying to know what His will is, which is not easy for us sinful creatures to understand. But with God's help and grace, we can now understand that. And that's what we are doing. And prayer is part of that process. That's what we're doing in prayer. So may we learn to pray in that way, to worship God, to submit to God in prayer. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.